I'm D. May Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to music composed and performed by Chris Beatty. You can find out more about his music at Chris Beatty, and that's beat with a T-Y, .com. Today we're exploring several offerings by Fuse Theater Ensemble during the 2019 Fertile Ground Festival of New Works. You can check out all of those offerings at fertilegroundpdx.org. And just listen along, because I have some wonderful guests here. With me in the studio is Rusty Newton-Tennant, Artistic Director of Fuse Theater Ensemble. Hi, Rusty.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Welcome back. And we have actress Jane Comer, who has a play called I Am an Actress. Welcome, Jane.
Funny how that title works, isn't it?
It just happens to be the title of your show. Well, it's so good to feature you both on stage and studio. First off, let's talk with Rusty. This is the 10th anniversary of Fuse, and congratulations on that. And I don't know, I mean, 10 years later, tell us briefly about that journey and the whole mission of Fuse.
There is no way to tell that journey briefly. It's been amazing. We find ourselves feeling very fortunate to be where we're at in this community at this stage of the game. 10 years as a theater company is no small feat. And certainly there have been choices made and concessions made, and situations where we've struggled, and certain situations where we have thrived. But nonetheless, here we are 10 years later. Actually, Fertile Ground opened the same year that Fuse originated. We're both celebrating our 10-year anniversaries, and I think that Fuse has had a really integral part in Fertile Ground, and Fertile Ground has had a really integral part in the things that Fuse has created. So it's a very happy marriage.
Have you all had shows at Fertile Ground every single one of those 10 years?
I believe we took 1 year off, just off the top of my head. I'm pretty certain we took 1 year off, maybe two. But when we do participate, we tend to have numerous offerings. It's rarely just one thing that's going on. If it's not readings and productions, it's multiple productions like we're doing right now in repertory. So we try to be very active, because it is very integral to the type of theater that we are. It's Fertile Ground has a real specific mission, creation of original work. And over the past 10 years of existence, Fuse has created 14 original works of theater. So Fertile Ground has provided us an opportunity to, you know, have a testing ground for a lot of those works. And many of them were workshopped in Fertile Ground and then came back later as full productions. And, you know, in this case, I Am an Actress and Tether are both in that category.
Yeah, Jane, you did a workshop production of I Am an Actress last year, wasn't it?
The year before last, actually. Took last year off doing workshops at Outright Festival and places like that, so.
Well, we're going to talk about that more. I just also wanted to start off with Rusty with a show that you just wrote and are directing, and it's called Undetectable. Could you tell us about the title and what that means, and just a little bit more about the play?
The piece is, I call it a snowflake survival story. It's a story of two people who, for the most part, who are trapped in a downstairs basement room post-apocalypse or post-nuclear explosion of some kind. They don't really know. They don't really have a lot of information. And one of those characters is HIV positive. And so it really, the piece attempts to go into the discussion of what happens to all of us who are alive simply because of medication when that system of medication goes away. There's the first level of people who will die in an apocalypse, the people who are at ground zero. But then there's this extension of that, the next wave of people who will slowly die off because they don't have insulin, or because they don't have HIV medication, or because they don't have their asthma medication, whatever it may be. And it kind of takes us into that world. Not the happiest place to reside, but I think problem plays still need to be written. I know we're in an entertainment society, but I think we need plays that are think pieces as well, and that's what this really is aiming to be.
So how many characters are in this play?
There are technically four characters, three actors. Two of those characters are really, they bookend the show. They don't spend a lot of time on stage. One gets referenced quite a lot throughout the piece, but doesn't spend a lot of time on stage.
You know, as you describe the premise of the play, it just seems to me like I think about like Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, and how there were people in hospitals, there were people who were in assisted living, you know, people who just couldn't get out, you know, and how much of a disaster and tragic, you know, circumstances there were with that. So that's it. Sort of reminded me of that.
Yeah, and having lived through Hurricane Katrina, you know, the apocalypse in this is meant to be a metaphor. It's not. I mean, I don't think it really has to be looked at that literally. But anytime that these systems are taken away from us, the second wave of people who are really affected by it because they don't have the medicine or they don't have the support that they need.
Well, and I'm also thinking about just this country right now and how it could be a statement, I don't know if you intend it that way, of just medical care and its unavailability to a lot of our populations right now and just the costliness and everything. It's certainly something on my mind as I think the majority of Americans.
Absolutely. I mean, and you know, certainly that in one hand, but then there's also this, the privilege component of it that we rely on, and it becomes so second nature to take those pills every day and not realize what a privilege those pills are to you, or whatever it may be that you're dealing with. So it's a think piece. You know, I'm fully aware of that. And sometimes when it shows at 10 o'clock at night, it can leave you in a place like last night where I couldn't get to sleep until about 3:30 this morning because my head just wraps around these ideas. And I'm intentionally doing that to my audience. Like I said, I don't think we're beyond the days where we don't need problem plays.
Well, and it also seems to me that it's probably a short play if it's on at 10 o'clock at night, right?
Yeah, it's an hour. That's another thing that I really hoped to address in this, and that is the concept of what really makes a full-length play. You know, we have this mindset of it's got to be at least two and a half hours for it to be a full-length play. Otherwise, we're going to call it a one-act, and then we have to sell it in a specific type of festival. And I really wanted to start to, at least with my audience, begin to ask the question of, can we tell a full-length story in the matter of 60 to 75 minutes?
Yeah, and I think also by telling that kind of story, it also leaves room for a lot of discussion afterwards that people hang out and talk about later, right?
Some people hate me for it, but I leave a lot of questions in this piece, a lot of things that, you know, they come out, well, what happened here? What did this? And my purpose is really for people to be doing a little bit of the thinking, a little bit of the math as they're going along through the piece with me.
Well, it sounds really fascinating, and I certainly am drawn to the whole aspect of medical, you know, crises, you know, and how people deal with that. Undetectable runs the first weekend of Fertile Ground Festival at Headwaters Theater, and that's located at 55 Northeast Farragut Street, number 9 in Portland. And the dates are January 24th at 10 p.m., January 25th at 6 p.m., January 26th at 8 p.m., and January 27th at 4 p.m. And you can find out more at the FertileGroundPDX.org. And also, if you just joined us, you can listen online later today at stageandstudio.org and kboo.fm/stageandstudio, where there's a link to the Fertile Ground site. I'm Dime Roberts. And so I've just been talking with Rusty Newton Tennant, and he was telling us about Undetectable, a show that he wrote and is directing. And up next, too, is Jane Comer. And her show is called I Am an Actress. And it's a piece that you performed 2 years ago for the Fertile Ground as a workshop. And so how has that changed? You took 2 years, you know, you took a year off, but also I'm sure you were thinking about it a lot. So how's the piece changed since you first debuted the workshop, Jane?
Well, that's a great question. It's a solo work of a personal autobiographical nature. And as these solo works are kind of designed to do, they evolve over time. You never stop finding better ways to say what it is you wanted to say. And when I first workshopped this, I was kind of making the whole piece a metaphor. I am an actress, and I also happen to be a transgender woman. And I kind of buried the transgender in the story. I only said the word once in the original workshop production. And how it's evolved is I'm being much more open about the transgender side in the way the production is working now. And it seems to be adding additional power and insight to the same segments that I already had in the show. And so it's been an interesting process, though, how I've opened it up that way.
Why did you?
Just, I felt people needed to know more in a direct way. We apparently hadn't evolved as far as even I thought we were evolving at the time I originally created the piece. I kind of found myself to be a part of a change in times, and I just happened to be right in the right place at the right time with the right background in writing and theater and acting, and also being transgender to address the issue of what's going on with transgender Americans right now in this country. There appears to be a big move by those in power to essentially erase us from society. And if I don't speak up, if I don't say anything, that silence will become permanent. And so I find it, I have a great responsibility to address that. And how my show works is it's a lot of people have never met a transgender person. And there's a lot of research that shows that once people know somebody who's transgender, they're much more accepting of trans people in general. And they're less likely to want to see our civil rights taken away from us. And so my show is people's chance to meet a transgender person. Hey, did you know we like ice cream? Did you know that we love people? Did you know that we had passions about things that had nothing to do with our gender, just like anybody else? I'm making this big statement that transgender people are human beings, just like everybody else. And some people might be diabetic. Some people might have heart issues. Some people, not as many as perhaps those first two categories, but some people happen to be trans. And it's just a natural part of the fabric of society. It's a metaphor I like to use is a field of flowers. That's what human beings are, and we're all different colors. But there are some people who just want to make everything black and white for some reason. But that's not what we are. We're the field full of colors.
Well, and, you know, especially when you live in Oregon, but you also grew up in Oregon too, right?
Well, my play gets into that. I actually grew up in Southern California and came up here when I was 12 years old. And I knew I was trans from the time I was 4 years old. And being the new kid in town, in a small Oregon town, was quite the culture change. And my play, that's part of one of the things my play deals with.
Well, let's talk about the journey of the play, because it has multiple characters in it. Do you play all the characters?
Yes, I play all the characters. In a sense, there's a lot of voiceovers, a lot of video. I try to make it fun because, more than anything, I'm about showbiz. I was in the comedy. I studied all the comedians. I originally wanted to be a comedian. And so I'm all about the showbiz and having a good time. It's all not downbeat. I do play one other character on stage, and that's my own mother. I have my own mom come out. You know, did you know transgender people have mothers? You want to meet mine? Well, here she is. And she comes out and tells people about her struggles and the things she went through. And she's not trans at all. And everybody's got things they have to overcome. And sometimes finding things you're passionate about, in my case, theater, is what makes all the difference in life.
It's also fun to play your mother, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. I actually portray her giving birth to me. How cool is that?
I don't know if I want to go that far. But
how many actresses can claim that they've done that?
Or want to.
Well, that you have a very good point there.
You're pretty brave. That's all I got to say. So, you know, in the description of your show, it says it's about two women breaking out of societal boxes. That includes your mom, right? And that the daughter is named Jane, who is an actress. So it sounds like it's very autobiographical.
Well, it absolutely is. I tell not only my own secrets, but my mom's secrets. And my mom had an illness that was considered terminal when she was a child, but she was a miracle who somehow survived through the use of new medications they were coming up with at that time, the sulfur medications and things like that. She had tubercular meningitis. And even though she survived, she was left with hearing issues, eyesight issues, walking issues. But my mom determined that she just wanted to be what she called normal. No one could ever know how much her illness had affected her, and she was quite the actress. She never let on. And
so at what point do you bring up being transgender as a child? Did you bring it up? I mean, is that part of the story here?
I don't necessarily address that in the story. I present, essentially, when you're trans, you can try, I mean, it may be a little bit different now. We're talking 1960s for me, to date myself a little bit there. And I mean, in real life, I did make the attempt when I was young, and of course, they pushed it aside as they would at that time. And I don't really get into it in the play. There's a bit toward the end where I kind of address it a little bit, my parents coming to understand that I'm trans. Pretty much when you're transgender, a lot of times it's something that you're alone with yourself. And I discuss that too. My times when I was all by myself was pretty much the only time I could be Jane. And other times, I was always acting. Even when I wasn't on a stage, I was always playing somebody else. And then when I would actually be acting, I'd be playing somebody else, playing somebody else. If that gets a little confusing, I'm sorry. That's just part of being trans.
So how did acting help you? You know, how does acting, I guess, fit into this whole theme of I am an actress? What is the importance of acting?
Excellent question. I
have two so far. That's good.
That's actually my stalling technique.
No, believe me, I've heard it.
I bet you have. How I portray it in the show is these performers. At first, I talk about the Beatles being my favorite rock band. And I knew two things when I was 4 years old. I was trans. My name was Jane. And I loved the Beatles. And the Beatles were different. They weren't like all the other boys. They had long hair and they acted different. But you know what? People loved them because they brought joy to the world. And I think at the same time I realized I was trans, I realized I was probably some kind of artist or performer because that's what I wanted to do. Even though I was different, I wanted to bring joy into the world. And at times it was a bargaining thing. I thought maybe if I could make people laugh, they would love me. They were already laughing at me, so why don't I turn the tables around and get them to love me for making them laugh? And so that was part of the motivation. And also, theater has this quality to it where you're examining your soul. And you're working with other people who are getting to know you, you're getting to know them. And a lot of secrets kind of come out, even if you don't actually express them openly. And a lot of people in theater kind of knew who I really was the whole time. It's just the nature of the profession. Also, doesn't necessarily have everything to do with me being trans. It's a separate thing. All human beings have things that they're passionate about. And the subtitle is called A Passion Play because I emphasize the importance of finding things to be passionate about, finding loves and passions, things that drive you, that make you want to get up every day and go out into the world. And for me, theater has always been that passion. That thing that just keeps me going. I don't have to think about my other problems. I don't have to think about my identity. I'm concentrating on a different identity, the identity of a theater artist. And as I mentioned in the show, it doesn't necessarily have to be acting or theater that's your passion. It can be anything. You don't even have to be very good at it. But finding that passion, that love, is what keeps you going as any kind of human being you might be. And that's what it was for me. It was the thing that I could focus on, concentrate on, during a time where transition was not really feasible for somebody who was a teenager.
Do you have a short piece that you could do?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
This is from the play.
I Am an Actress.
I Am an Actress, A Passion Play by Jane Comer. That's me. Sometimes when the rain is just right, when the fogs and mists are just a certain level, I remember you. It was not my idea to say goodbye to you. Only a fool would ever want to do that. I remember the way you laughed, of the smile that would linger after, and your large, wide heart that would gift me with lovely words. Sometimes, when the rain is just right, I think of you. I actually think I see you, just a shadow in the corner of my eyes, but when I move my pupils to see more clearly, it's not you. Just someone with similar features, similar colors, but absolutely, completely nothing like you. Sometimes, when the rain is just right, I dream of you. And what a wonderful reunion it is, because of all the millions of souls in this miserable old world, you were the only one of you I ever knew. And perhaps someday, the reunion will not end. Perhaps when the rain is just right, and the fogs and mists are just a certain level.
Lovely writing, too. That was very nicely done. The piece you just heard was from Jane Comer's I Am an Actress, and the subtitle?
A Passion Play.
A Passion Play. Thank you for that. We just heard her performing, and her show is I Am an Actress, A Passion Play. You can see her show during the Fertile Ground Festival on January 24th at 8 p.m., January 25th at 10 p.m., January 26th at 6 p.m. at Headwaters Theater, located at 55 Northeast Farragut Street, number 9 in Portland. And Rusty, in the time remaining, there are two other shows that we want to feature. Kate Muro's show, The Tarot Show, and also Sarah Faye Goldman has a show too. So tell us briefly about both of those.
I'll start with Sarah Faye's because that has the most performances coming up still. Tether, ADHD plus BDSM, is Sarah Faye's disambiguation of the ADHD complex that she herself suffers from. It has this amazing rig, I will call it. I don't know if it's a set, but it's a rig for her to be able to rappel from, to be able to do some acro from. She utilizes it as probably one of the most inventive props I've ever seen on stage. And the piece itself starts out getting you into the mind of a person who suffers from ADHD, and you really feel it for the first 5 minutes or so. Then you kind of go on a very beautiful exploration of the things that Sarah Faye has done in order to try to correct herself in her own, in some way, or to medicate herself, or whatever those sorts of tactics in order to make her life better. And then the last third of the play, the third act of it is, I don't want to give too much away, but it is a gorgeously beautiful knot-tying bondage session. And I have never been privy to it before Sarah Faye introduced it to me, but it is an absolutely spiritual event to watch someone do, to watch how it focuses Sarah Faye in a way that the rest of the play is unable to focus her. And it really becomes a way for her to safely, quote-unquote, medicate her ADHD. Probably similar in the ways that Temple Grandin realized that pressure has an effect on people who are autistic.
And Tether is at 6 p.m. on January 24th, 8 p.m. on January 25th, yes, and 10 p.m. on January 26th, and 2 p.m. on January 27th. And Kate Muro's show?
Kate's is, it's basically a tarot reading for a big group of people. She collects an audience as opposed to just doing one person, a reading for one person. She collects an audience. The beautiful thing about this show is, in my terms at least, is that you get a real history of the iconography in tarot, the stories about it, the problematic stories that have involved people of color and women in the ways that tarot has moved forward. And Kate goes into a lot of history with it while also then talking about the iconography of individual cards, what they mean. It's super. And for those of you who participate in tarot readings often, it may just be an interesting exploration as to how it applies to a group. For people like me who only have flirted with tarot in the past, it's super informative. I just learned so much about what the cards are and what the suits are and the arcana and all those other sorts of things.
So we're running out of time, but I want to give those dates out for Kate Muro's show. I guess it's just January 27th that it's happening.
During the festival,
it's January 27th at 6 p.m. And just for a final shout-out, I mean, and you can find all that info at fertilegroundpdx.org. And just a final shout-out for you, Rusty. You're performing your wonderful solo show, The Importance of Being Frank, at Bag and Baggage in Hillsboro. And that is happening February 7th
8th, 9th, and 10th at Hillsboro's Bag and Baggage, and you can find out more about that at bag.org. And there's some other artists as well as the Solo Fest. We've got Jennifer Lanier, Lauren Sulagi, and Elizabeth Huffman. So check that out at bag.org. Rusty Newton Tennant and Jane Comer, thank you both for coming here to my studio and telling us about Fuse Theater Ensemble. I'll have more info about that in a moment, but thank you both for coming here and being on Stage and Studio. And
thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
And break more legs, I guess, at fertile ground. I'm Dimae Roberts. Before we go today, I want to give a shout-out for a play that I've been producing for Meteorites Theatre Diaspora. After the 2016 election, it seemed like all the isms that we've been fighting to end erupted even more blatantly than before. Our Theatre Diaspora program wanted to create a piece of art that would get people to talk to each other and to listen to each other. It took almost 2 years, but we're about to debut here on this bridge, the ISM Project, this weekend, starting Thursday, January 24th, running through the 27th, and then February 7th through the 10th. The 70-minute piece of personal stories performed by 6 actors will be followed by a 30-minute conversation between the audience and community leaders. Last week on Stage and Studio, one of the writers and actors, Samson Searoth, performed a short piece from his personal story, See Her Strength, which is about coming out to his Lao refugee mom.
For the protection of my brother and sister, my parents had to flee Laos, the country they called home. I will never forget the moment my mother told me the story about how they escaped to Thailand. It was weird hearing her voice in such a different tone, and even more strange that she started talking about her past because she never did that. My family's past had always been an enigma. It had been tucked away behind old photographs and tightly sealed lips. That was why my family moved to America in the first place, to escape their past and to give my siblings and me a promising future. She told me about how my sister was just a toddler and my brother was 5 or 6 years old. She was pregnant with me, but she didn't know it yet. As she told the story, I looked into her eyes. I could see her reliving every dreadful moment. They were on a small boat crossing the Mekong River to Thailand. My mother held us close, my brother and sister and an unborn me, shielding us from a barrage of bullets. She risked her life to protect us. To me, that is the opposite of weak and helpless. That is a hero.
That was writer and actor Samson Searoth from the world premiere original production of Here on This Bridge, The ISM Project. It opens this Thursday, January 24th, and runs through the 27th, and then again on February 7th through the 10th. For more info, visit Meteorites, that's MEDIARITES.org, or get suggested donation tickets at brownpapertickets.com. That's it for Stage and Studio. I'll have this show online later today at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio, as well as on iTunes. And check out our page on facebook.com/stageandstudio. And tweet me at stage, the letter, and studio. Till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts. We're going out with music by David Ornette Cherry at davidornettecherry.com.